Brought to you by the LeBeau College of Business at Drexel University, this is Career Conversations with Kelly, a podcast that explores careers and professional development by showcasing successful business leaders in the Philadelphia region. And now, here is your host, Kelly Diley.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Career Conversations with Kelly. I'm Kelly Diley, Assistant Director of Graduate Career Services with Drexel's LeBeau College of Business. Joining me today is Patrick Callahan, Drexel alum and founder of Compass Red. Patrick will be sharing with us what he's learned from multiple failures, where he sees the future of analytics going, and potential internship opportunities with Compass Red. I'm very excited to interview you, Patrick, and learn more about your story. I told you offline how I've just been really interested in you sharing your background with our students and our listeners, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot of wonderful information to share with the listeners. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for doing this. This is amazing. It's fantastic.
And thank you everyone for listening. Patrick, can you just share with us a little bit about your background and how you came to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I have to be the luckiest guy in the world. I think I'll start out with that. Going to Drexel with 5 years, this is 1988 to 1993, did the 3 internships, followed that whole path. I'm from New Orleans originally.
Oh, nice.
So the best thing that happened to me was when I was born, 1969, right? 1993 was really the start of the internet, is when it really started to gain speed, and I just happened to go into business at the same time. Started working for a company called Anderson Consulting, which eventually became Accenture. And I was the tech guy going in there saying, you got to check out this internet thing. And so the partners didn't know what I was talking about. So they would say, you go tell our clients about this internet thing. So 4 years, I studied this internet thing and just kept building on top of it and seeing the changes that happened in the world. And it was just an amazing time to do that. So following that technology, I had this dream. There's going to be a common element that goes through this, but... Yeah, I always look at things that I try to take on as, I want to do this before I die. So I don't want to get out of this life without having to do this. Mm. One of my bucket list items was go to law school at night. So during the day, a few of us built another company. It was called Hesta, and it was all Oracle database stuff, and grew that for a while. Then in 2001, sitting at a desk in a small room, much like this room here, I was sitting there and I knew I wanted to start something in my life. My father had been an influence on me. He was an entrepreneur as well.
Oh my gosh.
You know that you have something you have to accomplish in your life, and having a business was one of them. And I had this idea of graphical emails and sending them out. So I was at a client, he had the lights buzzing in the background and stuff like that, and the burnt coffee pot. And I physically just couldn't sit there. So I got up and went and said, I need a month off. And I wanted to start something. I wanted to try something out. And my wife okayed it and everything else like that. So it was good. We had 2 newborns that were screaming.
Oh, my gosh.
I had just finished up law school. It was 2001-ish. And so I got up from the table and took a month off and started the business. And the best thing that happened is it didn't work. And I went back to work. I was going back to work the next after the month is over. And they said, I'm sorry, we're having a layoff. It's the .com. So I look at that moment like, someone took my hat, threw it over the fence, and said, you got to go get it. Because now I had to eat. I had 2 screaming kids.
Right.
And I told my wife, this could be the best day ever, or it could be the worst day ever. And slowly, little by little, we started building another business, and it was called the Archer Group. And grew that, and then we sold that, and we can get into that. And then started this company, which is a data lab. So basically, we're doing data analytics and data science and tackling some of the world's most interesting problems.
Wow.
In our lab. Yeah.
I would hope that either now or maybe in a little bit later, you can share a little bit more about your current company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, certainly. So if you look at the progression of the internet, you had people going to the websites that naturally produced data. Social media produced data. Internally, companies are producing data. It's become a very data-rich environment. And just like you had advertising agencies that were building websites and that type of thing, this company is all focused on bringing some really smart data analytics people and data scientists in to tackle problems on behalf of clients. So basically, we have a few offices, and clients bring to us some amazing problems. The state of Delaware brought to us, like, how do we predict where a child is going to be reoffending with a gun using data?
Oh, my gosh.
So it's amazing stuff. Or Wawa brings to us some of their problems. Pabst Blue Ribbon, who we got an award for here at Drexel.
Oh my gosh, I remember.
Yeah. So Pabst Blue Ribbon, they need to predict out where beer demand was. So we run these 16,000 models on data, bring in weather patterns, all kinds of fun things, and say, in Wichita, Kansas, at this one specific spot, how much beer do you need?
Oh my God.
So, and that algorithm and that kind of thing is all used in other different problems as well. So it's not just unique. It's not just one industry. And so we've been able to grow it pretty well. And it's been in this region, and it's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And obviously, as you know, and I believe my listeners know, I do advise our business analytics students here at LeBeau. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that some of them would be really interested in the work that you're doing.
Yeah, and actually some of the students from LeBeau have actually built some of the algorithms that we use.
So
we hire people from Drexel, interns, and the intern doesn't come to file paperwork or to answer phones or anything like that. They're building algorithms. So just taking a step back, this business is predicated on the fact that AI is coming. You know, you have predictions, so all these new algorithms and mm-hmm. artificial intelligence is coming out. Like, this is the base of all of that. This is what this company does. And students that are coming out of here or anywhere, but students in this generation are the ones who really understand how to use that. They grew up in the dot-com era or the social media data era or that kind of stuff. And so this, I don't just need them for bodies. I need them to actually help build the business.
Well, and this leads me into my next question, because I know that you've hired some interns in the past and will most likely be taking an intern again next summer. Can you share with us what are some of the skills that you look for when hiring an intern?
Okay. Most importantly is what I see before I actually hire them. What you write online, what you talk about, what your passions are, they're displayed. So a lot of times I'd like to say the interview has happened before the person actually comes in.
Interesting.
If I see someone who's written, like, this, even if it's wrong, I don't like this algorithm. I don't like the way data science is going. I don't like the ethics or the diversity. Or I love this one piece of thing. I'm doing Pinterest on a formula. Or just if I see someone who's just written about food, then maybe they're more interested in food. And maybe that's not, data science is not the area that we're looking for. So someone that actually has a passion for it and an opinion and that can communicate and that can be very, very creative with different problems and different solutions. Because this is a very creative industry with math and science and analytics and everything else like that. So I guess that's the big thing that we look for initially. We've hired students from all over, from some of the top schools in the country. My favorite, and I'm not saying this just because I'm sitting here, Drexel students. And the real reason why, and again, I'm not, this is not solicited or anything like that, but the real reason why is they come from practical experience, which builds a confidence that you can't get when you're just sitting in a classroom type thing. So the students that are coming into our office have real world problems that they've accomplished before. And I'm going to take that intern and put them in front of a client. And when they're talking to a client and they can refer back to on, oh, in class we did this one problem, they can relate to it. It's a game changer. And we were talking earlier and we were sort of joking, saying that I'm the dumbest guy in the room. But
I highly doubt that.
No, but you know what? That's my one quality that I hold on to, because if I can find people who are working with me that are smarter, I'm going in the next day and we're going to be a pretty good, successful company in the long run.
So it sounds like you're not just looking for technical skills then. There are these other traits that you're looking for, which that was interesting to hear.
Yeah.
So in the first episode, I mentioned my thoughts and feelings about networking. I think it's very important. I talked about how even if you're an introvert and you hate it, you sort of have to push yourself to do networking, and how networking has paid off for me in a number of ways. So I decided I'm going to ask everyone I interview questions about networking. Can you share an example of a time that networking really paid off for you?
Yeah, and this is super important. I never got a job by just applying blindly on one ads. It's always meeting people, going to enrolling in different events and all that kind of thing. Every client that we had from the previous companies, from the current companies, were through networking. So you've hit a note that's extremely important to me. That the way I approach it personally is that when I'm doing things I love. I'm a runner. I like to run. I'm fat, slow. I do long runs. I joined a board called Girls on the Run, and we do a lot of running. My first client, JPMorgan Chase, would not have come if I wasn't on a run on the Brandywine River talking about what I did as we're running. The genuineness of what you're doing, so if you really enjoy something and you're doing it, putting yourself in that situation that whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it doesn't matter. You enjoy doing something in your life, do it. And then that will start to build a network for you because other people see you're enjoying it and they want to be around you. And you get into great conversations and that type of thing. But you're not going to be able just to send emails from your computer and think that things are going to happen because everyone else can do it.
That's really great advice. I totally agree with you. And like I said, it's not always easy. But if you do surround yourself with people that you enjoy being around and getting involved in activities that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I love that. That makes sense.
And it makes you genuine.
Patrick, in terms of being an entrepreneur, what has been your biggest surprise?
When you hit a wall, there's always a way around it. So the specific example that I have is that we were trying to sell our company. We're not necessarily trying. We're trying to look for the opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Friday night. We had run into a problem that was just insurmountable. There's no way you could get it done. Just stepping away, taking a step back, looking at things a little differently, gave me the opportunity to say, yeah, actually there is a way around this.
Hmm.
That we were working with a tax accountant's legal mess. It was a mess. It's just taking that step apart. And what that taught me, that weekend taught me, is that anytime I run into another problem, there's got to be a way around this.
Hmm.
Another thing that was one last surprise that really made me think was, when you're an entrepreneur and you're going out in your business and your stuff like that, you feel initially that you're alone. There are more cheerleaders surrounding you than you ever knew. People want to see you succeed. If they see you working really, really hard, surround yourself with those cheerleaders and then get them going with you. So that to me, I never knew, but now I know it and now I can leverage it. Every day I write down, like, I have a list of cheerleaders today who's going to help me make my goal.
So we're kind of switching gears here, but we're sort of also staying linear because you mentioned failure.
Yeah.
And again, a theme that I like to showcase in this podcast is it's not always going to be peaches and cream and that there's bumps along the road. And I was hoping you can talk about a time that you failed and what you learned from that.
I do notice this, a West Coast versus East Coast thing. At West, the first thing they'll tell you about is all their failures, but none of their successes. Because they're more interesting, right? You don't learn off of successes as much as you learn off of failures. Especially if you can go back and look at it and say, what did I do wrong? When I got back from San Francisco, I started this company with another guy. It was called Proximetry. We were going to take beacons and we were going to put them all over Philadelphia and we were going to create an ad network. And everything that we saw, every venture capital was throwing money at this problem, not necessarily at us. It looked financially like, oh my gosh, this is such a big thing. This is fantastic. And everything was just adding up. It was just perfect. But the user, we didn't interview the user. We didn't interview the person who was actually using a beacon. When you look at something like, this is the best idea ever. This is great. This is fantastic. It'll work. People will use this forever. It's not a real good idea until you actually talk with the person that's using it and get a win, get a dollar, you know, have someone buy it.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of different theories and books that are written on this and how to actually go about doing this. But it's the biggest thing that I learned. And we shut down the company a year later, and I spent so much time trying to dig out of that mess and everything else like that.
Right.
But taking that into the next, what I did find out at a company is how important data is and how people said, oh yeah, the network's great, and yeah, these beacons are fantastic, and they're doing so many good things. Because, but tell me about the data you're collecting. And I didn't listen enough to that. So my dad likes to say, God gave you 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. So I think that was the biggest lesson I learned, is just to listen a lot more to the consumer of your product, or whatever it might be, to the student that you're teaching, or to the employees that are working for you.
I'm really impressed with that you had this failure, and what you learned from it was to listen, and you're happy to tell people about it.
We could spend a whole another podcast on hours with that.
Well, I like to hear these stories, and I think that students and young professionals, people who are just starting out, that they can benefit from hearing this, because you're right, people don't talk about failure.
Yeah.
Can you comment on the future of analytics and where you think things are headed?
This is an exciting time. Big data, it's been around forever. Analytics has been around forever. But the technology has advanced so much and the amount of data has advanced so much. Well, the future of analytics and data science, there's so much data, there's so many things that are happening, that the direction is going that you send me stuff, computer, before I actually know it. Mm-hmm. So before I walk out the door, tell me it's going to rain because you know I'm going out the door. Before I write this business report, tell me about the business problems that are happening. So there's the artificial intelligence, you'll always need the pilot and the plane. You need that human element as the final check. But data and analytics is going to start to bring more things to me in the future. That's what I'm getting excited about, the artificial intelligence. It's going to build more jobs. It's going to make our life better. It's going to make us safer. Let me give you one example. So in the 1940s, we had four different types of blood problems. If you went to a doctor and they said, oh, you have a problem with your blood or something, there may be one of four things that were going on, because that's all we knew. Now, there's probably 896 different problems. In other words, we've gotten to know blood a lot more. We know the genomes behind it. How is a doctor supposed to know 890? It's just not possible. So computers are starting to bring that data analytics, and data science is bringing that healthcare back so that a doctor can go in more armed and say, like, okay, there's 896, but the computers helped me break this down to four, and now let's start to decide on that. It's saving people's lives. This is we're at the biggest game-changing moment, because there's so much opportunity ahead of you.
It's interesting. An example comes to mind when I meet with my students and I look at their resumes. I also get to learn about the academic projects that they're working on. And one project that comes to mind is they were predicting a person's likelihood of developing chronic kidney disease based on these different predictive models and algorithms that they were building. And they, I believe the percentage was with an 89% accuracy. And when I was hearing about this, my mind was blown.
Yeah, because you know what? 10 years ago, we companies couldn't even do that. And now, here we are today, 10 years later, which is a blip, and students can do it. And in 1993, I started seeing this with the websites and stuff like that. I was like, oh my God, look it, we're going to be able to get information to the world so they can topple bad governments. And now we're saying, oh, no, as a student, you can save a life. Like, who wouldn't want to do that, right? That's what data scientists go into their career doing. They want to do this stuff.
Awesome. Well, Patrick, this has been wonderful. Before we close out, I was hoping to see if there was any advice or recommendations that you may have for students who may be interested in starting their own business someday.
Yeah. So I will start out with this word, and you have to sear it into your memory. People are listening to this. You got to throw your hat over the fence, and you got to figure out how to get it. So take that leap. Don't be afraid of not getting the hat back. You can always buy another one somewhere else. Just do it. Don't slow down. So if you have a dream that you're going to provide some kind of widget or you're going to develop some kind of algorithm, go for it. You're never going to have a better time in the future. You're going to have obligations in the future that slow you down or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can still do it in the future, but right now is the best time to do this. Look at the models that you have. People have done this before. Mark Zuckerberg was in college. He built a platform at 18 years old that changed world governments. It shifted the axis of the world.
It did. It changed the entire world.
Twitter is the same way. Someone who he was falling in love with, like, traffic patterns, and all of a sudden he tweets something out and there's a $1 billion business right there. It's just not impossible. And as the further we get on, the more we're gonna see this actually happening. Your age doesn't affect you. You'll have experiences and failures that you can learn from that make it better. But right now, grasp the nothing is impossible, because you're young, you can do it. Just do it. Just go out there and do it.
I can't thank you enough for sharing your advice, your analogies, all of this great information with our listeners. I think people are going to really have some wonderful takeaways from this conversation. I know I have many. And you actually just made me really excited about data, and I'm not a data person. So I think you did a wonderful job of sharing your knowledge and sharing your stories with our listeners. And I just can't thank you enough.
It was great to be here. Thank you so much.
Career Conversations with Kelly is produced by Drexel's LeBeau College of Business. Opinions expressed do not reflect the views of the college or university. We thank you for listening and hope that you will join us again next time.